Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Dr. Karen Olivito, Associate Dean at the Pacific School of Religion, spoke on August 21, 2005. Her sermon was titled, The Wild Raging Water. God promises to be with us through all our perilous passages if we trust that God will always be at work for the good in our lives. The lectionary reading is Psalm 124.
I hate Bay Area summers. No, I don't hate it. I can't abide by Bay Area summers. I'm sorry. Fog and cold and damp is not a summer make. Thank you. I'm glad I got some amens. Now I know we can warm up the sermon. All right. I grew up in a town called Babylon. Okay, I was born on Good Friday and raised in a town called Babylon. That tells you a lot about my life. But I was born in a town, raised in a town called Babylon, which really was by the waters of the south shore of Long Island. So most of my summer teen years were spent at the beach. My friends and I would pack our lunches, we'd hop the bus, we'd find our spot on the sands and put down our various blankets looking like a huge and colorful patchwork quilt. We'd turn on the radio, the transistor radio, to WABC AM, of course, and then we'd slather our bodies with suntan lotion, not sunblock, because we didn't know about skin cancer at that time, and then we'd exchange books and snacks. Now, Stephen King was just becoming popular, although our all-time reading material, and I don't confess this to many, were the dirty books we would find in our church paper drives. We learned a lot about the congregation. The sun would bake us, and then we would run down to the water, dive headfirst in a wave, body surf a few, and then, having cooled ourselves off, we would return to our little blanket compound. We had all grown up by the ocean. It was as familiar to us as our backyards. We fished it, clammed it, crabbed it, sailed it, body surfed it. The sea was our friend. We knew its smells and sounds, and we respected it and found little of it frightening. After lunch, we would dutifully wait an hour, or as close to an hour as we could, before we would jump back in the water. So one day, seven of us were in the water, jumping over the waves, talking and giggling, when all of a sudden, something tugged at our legs and sucked our bodies down into the water. When we finally broke surface, sputtering and coughing up seawater, we realized we had been moved far from the shore. A riptide had us in its grip. We began to swim back towards the shore, but the strength of the tide prevailed and we quickly fatigued. Fear grabbed us as we reached out for each other. As all seven of us clung to each other, we began to wonder, were we going to drown? We didn't know. It is amazing how quickly calm seas can become rough. How suddenly the tide turns. The balance that we achieve in our lives can shift without warning. The pink slip arrives at our desk. The lover leaves. The phone rings in the middle of the night. Health fails. The next thing we know, a riptide has us in its grip, and we're pulled far from the familiar shore, and we wonder how and if we are ever going to survive. The distinguished American poet Jane Kenyon knew about life's fragilities. Dying of leukemia at the age of 48, she worked with her husband Donald Hall, also a poet, to complete what she knew would be the last volume of her poetry. She entitled the book Otherwise after one of the poems. I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, a full, ripe, flawless peach. it might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birch wood. All morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed, in a room with paintings on the wall, and planned another day just like this day. But one day, I know, it will be otherwise. Kenya knew that what made her life so precious were the simple, mundane moments. And she was well aware how all those could be and would be taken from her. How did she get through those hours and days awaiting the final wave that would break upon her body and carry her out? How does anyone get through the rough and tumultuous waters that break upon us without warning? And it is faith. A faith that sustains us through the doctor's diagnosis, the disease that begins to claim one's body, and death. We can turn to the life of Jesus and in his life see a model of how to endure when the seas grow rough. Jesus knew that life, that his life, was not going to be any picnic. The journey he had to take was not always going to be by the still waters. When Jesus entered the wilderness, what he learned in the desert was that evil certainly does befall you, and that his own life would be particularly subject to it, and that the end of the road for him stood a cross. He was well aware that his life, the path he was going to take, was stormy, and was going to be filled with the unexpected. What he learned was that whatever happened, whatever was going to happen, God would not abandon him. That whatever limits he had to endure, even the ultimate limit of his own death, he was ultimately safe in the love that would never leave him, a love that would hold him up and give him the strength and courage he needed to live each day thereafter with a sense of his mortality and therefore with a sense of each day's precious beauty. The promise of God to us is as clear as well. Isaiah says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." God gives us the assurance that God will be with us through in all our perilous passages, working to protect us and guide us and preserve us. This love of God for us is undeniable, and Scripture promises that many waters cannot quench this love, neither can floods drown it. There is nothing in all of creation, neither land or air or sea, that can separate us from the love of God that we find in Christ Jesus. So we, like all the faithful before us, can count on God's love and power and presence when we face our own stormy seas. God promises to bring us through the wild, raging waters, through the water of chaos and danger, and to see us safely to calm water. God promises to be with us when we face the wild, raging waters of a fresh school year with unfamiliar teachers, classmates, and subjects. God promises to be with us in the wild, raging water of a new job with unexpected challenges and responsibilities. God promises to be with us in the wild, raging waters of a lost relationship with feelings of regret and uncertainty and self-doubt. God promises to be with us through the wild, raging waters of a serious illness with sadness and fear and exhaustion and pain. And God promises to be with us in the wild, raging waters of job loss and financial crisis with insecurity and fear. And God promises to be with us, yes, even through the wild, raging waters of a death in the family with shock and anger and confusion and grief. Through all these raging waters, God promises to be with us, to give us what we need to stay afloat. all God asks is that we seek to stay as close to God as God is to us, and that we trust that God will always, always be at work for the good in our lives. Do you remember the rough, raging waters Jesus and his disciples experienced when they were in the boat? Do you remember? The waves were swamping the boat and the disciples were panicking and Jesus was sleeping soundly until he got woken up by the disciples who were fear-struck. And he said to the sea, what? Peace, be still. And then when calm came, he turned to his disciples. And what does he tell them? Why are you afraid? Do you not yet have faith? I appreciate those questions as I face my own rough and stormy seas. Do we have faith that God will save us from destruction? Do we trust that God will give us courage and victory in the middle of our struggles? Do we believe that God will see us through the storm and deliver us safely to the other side? Somebody once told me that they counted all the times in the Bible when the words "be not afraid" or "fear not" or those kind of quotes appeared in the Hebrew and the Greek. Do you know how many times they appear, according to this one friend? 365. One for every day of the year. Presbyterian pastor John Buchanan writes, Walter Brueggemann says that's what Christian faith is about. Fear not. Brueggemann is a very distinguished Old Testament scholar. He's also a great teacher and preacher. I heard him engage a group of clergy who were there to hear his scholarly observations. And what he did, though, was ask us to recall a time when, as children, we were frightened. Maybe lying in bed, sure that the shadows on the wall were of a monster hiding, and the bumps and the creaks in the stairway were the portent of something dreadful about to happen, and we called out to our mother or father who appeared and took us in her or his arms and said, everything's all right. Don't be afraid. That, Brueggemann says, is what faith is about. And it's the primary, fundamental, and persistent message in the Bible. Be not afraid. Horatio Spafford, I love that name, was a wealthy businessman. He and his family lost everything they had in the Great Chicago Fire. He sent his wife and four children to Paris, and he had to stay behind because he had to finish up the loose ends of his lost business, but he was soon going to follow them. Well, as his wife and four children were on a sailing vessel, which was the largest and supposed to be the safest of its day, an English sailing vessel rammed them, and 226 people died within 2 hours, including his four children. His wife was saved and from Paris telegraphed him three words: all is lost. Spafford got on a boat as soon as he could and made his way over to France so he and his wife could be together in their grief and loss. On the way, the captain of the ship he was on pointed out the exact spot in the ocean where the tragedy occurred. Now, I try to imagine, what was it like for him to be in the middle of this expanse of ocean, trying to keep his feet steady as the waves rocked the boat, knowing that this was where once four children had perished, looking out on this ocean, his heart heavy with grief and pain. Spafford discovered something within him that was faith and hope. And he wrote these words, which have sustained hundreds and thousands in their own tempest-tossed seas. They might be familiar to you. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. In the midst of the wild, raging waters, let us rest in the assurance that God will lead us to still waters. Sinking in this love that will never, ever let us go, may we remind ourselves, it is well with my soul. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthonline@gmail.com. That's EPWORTHONLINE@gmail.com.